Well, good morning. I'm really glad that both Leah and Jeff addressed the Jays thing, because I was like, how do you just casually start a sermon after a loss like that? And the best line I could come up with was Monty Python. And now for something completely different. Here we are. It's good to be with you guys. 2 years ago, my family and I, we left on our first ever all-inclusive vacation to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. Oh yeah, this was a special trip that my mom had planned for us, and she set it up for us before she passed away. This was a gift for us to go and be able to make some new memories together as a family, really spend some quality time together, and enjoy life after a really difficult season. And so, Lee and I, we packed up our three kids who were ages 5, 3, and 1 at the time. And with my dad and my brothers and all their families, we hopped on a plane for a week of fun in the sun to make some memories. Oh. And memories we did make. Like, this is like a Hollywood script, okay? Like, what you think could go wrong basically did, right? Like, all the kids got hand, foot, mouth disease. I got norovirus, so did my sister-in-law. It thunderstormed several days. Our room had mold in it, and it was actually starting to affect my breathing, and we had to switch into a different room. And that room had an AC unit that leaked all over the hallway floor and just flooded it every night. And I lost my Lululemon pants. Add to all that the stress of parenting three small children in a foreign place where we had none of our typical comforts or amenities. There's a language barrier. Everyone's constantly on the verge of a temper tantrum. The kids, too. Don't get me wrong, it was actually a wonderful trip. But, like, basically, a lot that could have gone wrong did go wrong. And what came up inside of me during a lot of that week wasn't pretty, to be honest, right? Like anger and irritability and selfishness and disappointment and frustration. Like, this was supposed to be a really amazing week. Mom had set this up for us. I'm supposed to be enjoying that. So there's even envy of seeing other people on the resort looking like they're having a grand old time. Looking back, that week exposed something deeper within me. There were some rocks and thorns, you could say, in my heart that were choking out the life that Jesus wanted to grow there. And because of that, well, not just because of that, but because of that, a lot of that, I'm actually very, very thankful for that trip, because that actually set a little bit of a domino effect in my life for me, of digging deeper into what was actually going on in my heart, what I had been putting my hope and my trust in. And Jesus was showing me all the places where I had not been putting him at the center of my life. And like, I kind of played up all the drama because there was some really wonderful moments together as a family that I'm very, very, very grateful for. Also, the walkout pool, that was a game changer. Amazing. More on all that later. So this morning, as Will just read from, we're looking at a parable that shows how the kingdom of God takes root in our lives. Okay, this is a powerful image, actually. And here's a little bit of a warning. It's also going to expose the condition of your heart. And that's intentional, because Jesus is actually trying to draw you closer to him. He wants to bring you into his life and invite you into the kingdom. And sometimes, in order to do that, he has to point out some things that are a little misaligned within us. He's going to expose some of those things, those places where we've had false hopes that we've planted our lives in, and that can be painful to face, as I learned on that vacation and in the years to follow. The condition of your heart, hear this, deeply affects how the kingdom takes root in you. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But there's also a hopeful invitation. Being sanctified by Jesus, that's a pretty neat word. That means to allow his spirit to penetrate our heart, and in conviction and calling over time makes us more and more like him. That part's worth it. This is what he is inviting us to. Are you ready? Oh boy, you were all up late last night. Are you ready? Wonderful. Can I pray? Let's pray. Lord, we just want to come before you this morning, deeply in need of you, deeply in awe of who you are, Jesus, I'm so grateful that you have been good to me all of my life. You have been faithful to us even when we have not been faithful to you. And so Jesus, this morning, as we dig into just the conditions of our hearts and the different postures that we can have as the kingdom message has been proclaimed, I just pray that you would show us where we're at. Help us to see with conviction that maybe there are places in our lives that we have some things blocking our ability to really hear from you. And so Jesus, would you just reveal that to us? Would you do that in a loving and gentle way? Would you point us to the kingdom, God, and help our hearts to be more and more in love with you? In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Okay, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. That is where we're going this morning. It's the same passage that Will just read. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 1 to 23. You might know Jesus was a rabbi, right? He would use parables to speak to the crowds, and they would often just do public teachings going from city to city to city with crowds following them. And so we hear in what Will read, looking at the parable of the sower, one of these moments where Jesus teaches about the kingdom. In fact, it's one of the first major parables in the Gospels about the kingdom. And this is pretty cool because it almost acts like a gateway to allow us to see how everything else kind of takes form, see how the kingdom operates. And here's something really interesting that I think we really should take note of. Not everyone receives it. Not everyone receives it. In fact, the kingdom only takes root in surrendered hearts. That's something for us to grasp this morning. So let's read, and I'm going to start in the middle for a particular reason, okay? I want to start at verse 10. Will just read the first part of the parable. Kind of immediately after that, the disciples, they come up to Jesus, and at verse 10 it says this: the disciples came up and asked him, why are you speaking to them in parables? And so Jesus answers, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. You ever just like looked at something in scripture and after reading through it and like sitting there processing, you know, having your coffee in the morning, you're just like, I don't get it. You know, anyone ever had that moment? Well, apparently the disciples did too, so feel better. I feel better about myself. The disciples did the same thing. They're like, what is up with this? And it's a good question. Why does Jesus teach in parables, and what is this all about? If you need a reminder, a parable, it's a short, relatable story, gets us thinking about new ideas and gaining understanding, in this case, about the kingdom of heaven. Let's take a look at Jesus' answer to that question. He says, the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you, but not to them. And later on, he says, because looking, at verse 13, they do not see, and hearing, they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them. When at verse 15 of that, Jesus says, for this people's heart has grown callous. You know what that means, right? So my brother's in the trades, his hands nice and calloused, right? Manly. Mine? Okay. My undergrad was in art. They're not exactly calloused, but this gives us a good picture of what happens to a heart. Jesus says this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Jesus tells them this parable for two reasons. There's a dual purpose here. One is to reveal the kingdom for some and to conceal it to others. I know that sounds odd and maybe even a little off-putting. When you're like, wait, Jesus, don't you want this to be open to everyone? Well, let's keep going here. I think the answer is yes, but there's something more at play. Reveal the kingdom for some, conceal it for others. Why? Because he's after your heart. As much of Jesus' teachings and much of his parables will point to, the Sermon on the Mount, man, just about every single one of those teachings, every little category, every little like sub-paragraph that Jesus has, all of it comes back to, where's your heart at? How are you actually doing? Do you want this relationship with Jesus? Do you want the kingdom is really a question. He's not after information transfer. He's not trying to teach something that just everyone's going to get, which to me as a preacher, I just kind of go like, whoa, that's so weird to think. Because like I put a decent amount of time and energy into making sure that I am being pretty clear in my messages. But Jesus, no, he's not actually after that. He's not after information transfer. He's after transformation. He's after your heart. And here's what he's doing. He's actually weeding out those who are truly seeking him and those who aren't. He knows that many people have hearts that are calloused. As it says in Isaiah's prophecy, we probably all know someone like that, right? I like to use the word crusty to describe that person. A crusty heart keeps us from the transforming love of Jesus and the work of his kingdom. That's why the condition of our heart matters. That's what he's getting at here. But as we'll see, there's good news. There's really good news here, because through God's love, our hearts can be formed and transformed into a rich, fertile soil. So let's get to the actual parable itself, because that was all a little bit of prep work here, because I want to read through Jesus' teaching again, and I want you to really think about your own heart. Read the parable, and the parable is going to read you. It identifies the heart that you have. So let's go back to verse 1 of Matthew 13. Where it says, on that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, sat down while the crowd stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil. And it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But the sun came up and it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out. Still, other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit. Some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen. So there's your parable. Anyone else thinking, all right, I see why the disciples asked for clarification. Thanks, disciples. Well, you're not alone. And one thing that strikes me as I read this parable is that Jesus is speaking to exactly what was happening in the moment amongst those listeners at that time. And yet through the Holy Spirit, through scripture, we actually have that same thing happening here and now. This is about what happens when the truth of the kingdom is revealed. This is about what happens when the message of the gospel is given. People receive it in different ways, depending on the state of their heart. One of my favorite authors, John Mark Comer, mentions how when people think of heaven and going there one day, that he thinks it's actually offensive to just assume everyone would want that. And he uses the illustration of Florida to demonstrate that. Some people love Florida. Golf and wildlife and beaches and, you know, having tons of fun in the sun. And he's like, not me. The last time I was there was the era where skinny jeans were extra tight and you just like squeak when you walked in the humidity. He's like, that's not for me. He's making a point that not everyone actually receives the kingdom, the message, with gladness. He's just simply pointing out a true statement about reality. And the same is true in our day and age. And one misconception that I've heard about this parable, in fact, a misconception I heard when I was growing up, because I grew up in a context where it was all about making a decision to follow Jesus so that you can go to heaven one day. But there was zero call to discipleship. Okay, that's the context I grew up in. I actually remember hearing this parable where it was taught that we are the seed. Okay, that if we just plant ourselves in the right circumstances, if I just surround myself with the right kind of soil, the right kind of people, then just poof, I'm just gonna thrive and be happy all the time. Okay, no, that's actually not true, right? Like Jesus, he was a man of sorrows, as Isaiah prophesied about, right? The Apostle Paul was like shipwrecked and beaten and tortured, right? Like just because we follow Jesus doesn't necessarily mean that life is perfect. But there's significant problems with this. It assumes that if we do the right things, our lives will go smoothly. That's not something Jesus ever promised. Second, it assumes that we're the ones actually in control. And to that, I just say, LOL. No, guys, we're not the seeds. We're the soil. We're the soil. The seed is the message of King Jesus. And the soil is the condition of your heart. So this isn't about how you plant yourself. This is about who you're becoming as the kingdom takes root in you. That's the question I want you to ask for yourself. How has the kingdom and that message taken root in my heart? How is that actually playing out in my life? That's a question I want you to just consider. So let's keep reading. At verse 18, how does Jesus explain this? He says, so listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But that root, there is no root and it is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth, they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. I want to focus in on each of those categories and dig a little deeper to help us kind of process that question of how is the kingdom taking root in me? I want to focus on each of these. While this was revealing of the hearts of people in that day, as I mentioned, this is also pointing to us now. Remember, the condition of your heart determines how deeply the kingdom takes root in you. So I'm going to put all these up on the screen here. If you want to just click to the next one there, Les. Basically, I want you to just think about which one, am I relating to one of these? Which one is it? Right, we've got the path where the seed never takes root. This is people who are just saying like, no, I'm not convinced, or I don't want this, and I think that's real, that's reality. You've got the rocky ground where the seed sprouts fast, but it dies because there's no roots. When trouble comes, people fall away. I had a friend in high school who came to my youth group, ended up giving her life to Jesus. She got baptized, and then she went off to university, and all of a sudden, it's like life got lonely and hard, and she's like, I'm poor because I'm in school, and she fell away. Or there's the thorns. The seed that grows, but other things choke it out, whether it's worries. He specifies wealth. I don't think that's a coincidence. Distractions of life, they choke out the kingdom's work within us. And lastly, the good soil, the seed that takes root, grows, and produces fruit in abundance. As we've been doing this series, as I mentioned, we're looking at the incredible truths about the kingdom of God and how that affects our understanding of the gospel. At the beginning of his ministry, a few weeks back, I mentioned this. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Like he's been inviting us to surrender to the kingdom and let it transform us into someone who looks more and more and more like the image of Jesus, to become more and more like him. Therefore, I don't want to look at these four types of people and say, ah, man, I guess that's that. I'm just going to be one of these things and nothing's going to change. Nah, that takes us whole down, like down a whole other rabbit trail of like predestination versus free will. And we're not going there today. Don't email me. It's okay. You can. I'm just kidding. But at the same time, I don't want to go down that path. I want us to think about how this parable identifies the hearts of the hearers, both then and now, but that there's a greater truth and calling that Jesus is inviting us to. Repent. The time has come. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news. Remember what repent means? Simply means to turn around and walk the other way, right? To do a 180 degree turn. I was going in one direction, now I'm not. My life looked like this and now I'm changing it completely. Jesus is saying, come, there's something better than the life you were living right now. There's something better than what you have been filling your mind with, what's been consuming your life, whether it's that wealth or the worries of today, the thorns, the stresses of life, the hard circumstances. He doesn't want us to get caught up and consumed in those. And so one of the big things that we've been addressing with this series is the problem of the get saved gospel. Like I said, that sees the work of the cross as a get into heaven free card, just this phenomenon in the Western church where we, you know, make a decision to follow Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed, but we're all peeking, to just like make a decision, get your ticket, and then what? Is that it? No, we do make a decision to follow Jesus. And yes, that does mean you get to go to heaven when you die. That is true. And that's wonderful. That's an incredible truth. That's our hope. But it misses the call to a life of following and living within the kingdom here and now. Salvation is part of the gospel. But here's something that I think the parable of the sower shows us that's really, really important for us in the Western church. You can be saved and still miss out. You can be saved and still miss out on the kingdom life here and now. Did you know that? Maybe you grew up in a context like mine where you'd read this and think, well, actually, I look at those four categories and only the person in the good soil gets saved. But that's actually not what the passage was saying. The one sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word. They do hear the word and they receive it with joy. Or the one sown among the thorns, they hear the word. Like, we're assuming that that's making, you know, having effect on their life. There's a belief there. But the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word out and it becomes unfruitful. Notice that both the rocks and the thorns, they hear and receive the good news with joy. They both technically hear and accept the gospel message, but they aren't actually embracing the kingdom. The stress of life, the worries that come, it overcrowds their faith and they don't grow. Can I get real with you for a second here? In the most loving, as gentle as I can be, pastoral way I know some of you have some big rocks and some thorns in your life. And this is preventing the kingdom from taking deep root in you, and you are at risk of falling away when life gets hard. And for a lot of you, that rocky ground that's, you know, making the gospel shoot up quickly, but then as soon as something hard comes, it can get scorched by the sun. For a lot of you, that rocky ground is comfort. This is a problem in the Western church, comfort. Comfort in having all your needs met, having security, being right, avoiding stressful situations, enjoying your life. Like, it's not necessarily anything wrong with any of those things. But in that situation, is Jesus just becoming the cherry on top? You know, he's just kind of there to give you the insurance. We want heaven later, but comfort now. And you will get it. You will get heaven later. But could you be missing out on the kingdom here and now? Now, please hear my heart in this. This is not condemnation or judgment. After all, my Dominican Republic vacation story shows just how much I was wanting comfort. I was seeking comfort and how I was a total mess when I didn't get it. It was ugly. Like, it takes one to know one, right? But is that something you relate to? Because my prayer is that Jesus clearly calls you into something more, into living out his kingdom and letting go of that idol of comfort in your life. Because the call, that call to life to the fullest that Jesus has for us, no, it's not easy. It's not comfortable. This is one of those reasons I see why people reject the message. That's easier. It is. The life Jesus calls us to is a life of sacrifice, of giving up, of giving of our lives to those around us, of giving yourself away. And that's hard. But since Jesus is calling us to be formed to his image, he's asking us to examine our soil and then see if there needs to be some weeding or some stone picking. Are you familiar with that term, stone picking? Yeah? Pastor Derek, who grew up on a dairy farm, right? Out in the country. Derek was telling me that he used to have to do that as a kid. He would have to do stone picking at their farm. Apparently they would gather all like the kids, the cousins, and he hated it because they would basically send you out into the fields with a bucket and you'd have to walk the fields and like physically pick out the stones from the soil across the whole field so that it doesn't damage the farm equipment when it goes to cultivate later. And as you handpick the stones, like the bucket's getting heavy, your back gets sore, the sun's hot, like it's exhausting, it's hard work. But it's needed. It's needed in order for that crop to really thrive, isn't it? It makes the soil better in the end. The same is true of weeding. Getting rid of the thorns is hard work, but it benefits the garden.
And if we're honest with Jesus and ourselves, we all go through seasons where our hearts can become, well, crusty, as I mentioned, cluttered with weeds or with stones, and we get a little callous, we get a little hardened. We need those weeds and those stones to be cleared. And that Dominican trip for me, it showed me the thorns that were in my life that Jesus wanted to pull out. He wanted to pull this out of me. And the truth is, we all need to keep tending to the soil of our heart. Because there are rocks and there are weeds. That is a pretty normal part of life, those things that come. But the real question is, how can I surrender to Jesus as he softens me into fertile ground where the gospel can take deep root? Life's worries and stresses will always come, but will we be close enough to Jesus in those moments to let him shape us into good soil, into people who bear fruit, even in the midst of thorns and stones in our life? And I do want to point out, this parable is just naming a felt reality. Okay, it's just naming the kinds of people. But the call to repent and believe the good news, that's what I want to latch on to, because I know that Jesus is calling us to consider this and then allow him to transform us. This parable is just pointing out the kinds of people, but the call to repent remains. You following? Tracking? Good. So that brings us to the final kind of person in Jesus' parable, the good soil. This is the one who hears the word, understands it, and lives it out, producing an abundant harvest. Their heart is humble, surrendered, aware of their need for Jesus' reign over them. They are regularly praying, Jesus, have your way in me. Shape me to be someone who looks more and more like you. And so no matter where you're at, I want you to know that Jesus is calling you to a process of sanctification, to a long journey towards Christ-likeness. That in that, that's the kingdom working itself out in your heart, in the life of a believer. And like, I wouldn't be up here if I didn't believe this, guys. I wouldn't just say these things if I didn't believe that following the way of Jesus wasn't life to the fullest. I don't think there's anywhere you can ever go where you will be able to find the answers to life that match up with what is in here. You're never going to be able to find hope the way you can find hope in Jesus. You're never going to be able to find life the way the kingdom has life, even in the midst of when life goes wrong, because that's inevitable. That's something Jesus actually promised. He said, in this life, you will have trouble. It's just a matter of time. But then he also says, take heart. For I have overcome the world. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He wants you to work on this. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Are you actually going to allow him to do that? Are you going to choose to get close to Jesus, to trust in him, even in the midst of those hard moments where you've got all the sickness, right? And everything's going wrong on the vacation. And nothing's going the way you were expecting. But I don't know about you, even in those moments of my life, I've seen where I have not dug in and pursued Jesus in those moments. And I could also see the moments where I have, even in the stresses of life and how much better it has been for me, for my family, for those around me, to be planted, rooted, humble, open to being that good soil. Willing to bow down to the King of Kings and say, thy kingdom come. So, what kind of soil are you? What kind do you want to be? Are you actually willing to take a step towards that? Because desire is great. But unless you're willing to take action, I don't know what good it actually is. Are you willing to take a step towards the kingdom in order to become good soil? So where do we go from here? I think if we want to become good soil, if we want to repent and believe the good news, and by the way, the word believe in that culture, it didn't just mean like a state of mind. It was actually a state of mind that had an effect on your life, that turned itself into a way of living. It turned itself into action. If we want to become good soil and repent and believe of the good news, we must form ourselves around the image of Jesus and his ways. This is about cultivating good soil. There's a lot of farm analogies today. It's about spiritual formation. Last weekend on the men's retreat, we talked all about this. It's really having a vision for the kind of person you are called to be. And that's someone who looks like Jesus. To have that in our minds and then to say, every day, I want to take a step towards that. Because the things that we do, the habits we form, they shape who you become. They actually form you into a kind of person, for better or for worse. And so I want you to ask, what steps am I taking each day? What practices am I giving myself into to actually shape myself around Jesus? So there's a bunch of suggestions I've got here on the screen. It's not, well, as Adam likes to say, rocket surgery. It's not hard. It's not complicated, I should say. Get close to Jesus with the practices. Get into your word, to the word. Get into the scriptures. Spend time in prayer. I set my alarm extra early this morning because of A, the time change, and I wanted to make sure I got up like a little bit before the kids do, because I used to like the fall where you gain an extra hour of sleep until I became a parent, and now instead of my kids waking up at 7, they wake up at 6. Thanks, time change. So I have to get up at 5. So I tried that, but after last night's game, that didn't go so well, but I was just like, Jesus, I really need some time with you after that game last night. And it was really good to do that. I stepped into that moment, even though I wanted to sleep. I wanted to be comfortable. I wanted to, you know, kind of just stay there in that space. But I went, no, it's better for my formation if I step into that time with Jesus. So get close to him with the practices, whether it's silence and solitude or fasting, scripture, giving, serving. That's a big one we talked about at the men's retreat. The practice of serving those around you. Because here's something really cool. This is a bit of a rabbit trail. I won't go all the way down. But the more you do something, the more your heart is formed by that thing. So the more you serve someone, even if your heart's not in line with that in the moment, you don't want to do it. Eventually, your heart catches up to your body. It actually becomes like a muscle memory that you dig into. I also think we need to heal from past wounds and hurts. In fact, no matter what you've been through, no matter who you are, this is huge in just you becoming someone who is whole. For me, after our vacation, I was like, you know what? And after my mom passed, I'm like, I want to see a counselor. I want to do this, not just for the grief stuff, which was so healthy for me to go into, but it looked at more stuff that was going on in my life, experiences from my past that I needed to deal with it. And again, it was this long journey, this long obedience in the same direction that shaped me into someone who I hope is looking more and more like Jesus each day. I think we need to take our sins seriously. Don't tolerate it, both in ourselves, in the world around us. That's not something Jesus calls us to. If we want to be that good soil and we've got this big sin in our life that we keep coming back to over and over and over again, we're not actually cultivating good soil within us. I think getting healthy, this is all encompassing. I do think that the physical side of this is actually really important. Back during COVID, I went on a sabbatical. Right as our middle son was born, and that was hilarious. But I went on a sabbatical, and I was off for like 3 months. I'm like, you know, this is a really good moment. I was just like entering my 30s. I'm like, I want to take my physical health a bit more seriously than I have been. I entered into a long journey of that. Again, it was like, I want to become the kind of person that isn't missing an exercise time. And that was really hard because there's sometimes at the end of the day, you're just like, I'm done. I'm toast. I'm so tired. But just like giving yourself to the time with Jesus, even when you'd rather sleep, I was going, no, I want to be a healthy person. Because that's not just going to affect my body. It's going to affect my mind, my heart. And lastly, I would also suggest rooting yourself in Christ-like community. That's what this is, guys. I'm so thankful for this. I'm so thankful that I've got a bunch of guys in my life who can call me out on my stuff. that we get together on a regular basis for the purpose of encouraging one another towards Christlikeness. I'm so glad that I know I could actually call up some people kind of any moment and be like, hey, I need prayer. I've got those kinds of people in my life, and you know who you are, and I'm so thankful. Don't do it alone. Over the last few years, God has revealed areas of the rocky and thorny soil in my life, and it's been hard but holy work to let him transform me. That's come through counseling, through spiritual practices, honest conversation with those around me, with my wife, with that community of men. And it's amazing how when you remove one rock, you realize that there's more buried beneath the soil. And it even just looked like a little one that was sticking itself out. It was actually a boulder underneath. But I'm so glad that Jesus is actually saying, I love you to the point where I don't want that to be in your life anymore. I don't want your soil to look like that. And I'm going to be with you to do the work to get you there as long as you're humble and willing to surrender to my kingdom and my ways. So here's the bottom line, guys. Like, if you can remember anything from today, it's this. The kingdom takes root in surrendered hearts. It only takes root in surrendered hearts. Jesus doesn't want to just plant a seed in you. He wants to transform the soil of your heart. The good soil produces a miraculous harvest, not just for you in your life, but for the kingdom, for its sake. Jesus is inviting you to be good soil, open, humble, and surrendered, to let his spirit form you until your life bears fruit of the kingdom. The question is, will you let him? Let's pray. Jesus, this parable, I look at it and I do find it to be a bit of a hard teaching, because it points out the places where I've strived after comfort or happiness, just getting my way. And then as soon as something challenging comes along in my life, I'm made very aware of some of the false hopes that I've had, where I've lacked the vision to see every day of my life as an opportunity to become someone who looks more and more like you. So Jesus, I want to thank you for this teaching, even though it's tough. Just as you revealed things in me during that vacation, I pray that for all of us, would you use every season of our life to show us where you are calling us to something greater? Or maybe there are things in our life that are blocking the seed of the kingdom from growing and truly producing fruit in us and in this world. So Father, we pray, thy kingdom come. Would your will be done in our lives, in our church, in our community, as it is in heaven. May we not just see each day as a day to do what we want, knowing that we're going to get into heaven one day, but would we see each day as an opportunity to get heaven into us through you? So Jesus, we love you. Would you show us the way? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.